Galatians chapter 3, verses 14 to 22, the letter that the Lord Jesus dictated to John the Apostle, one of the seven letters, and this one was to Laodicea. I just want to explain very briefly what I'm doing in these afternoon services. I think you're aware that I, like many people in our church, I'm rather concerned about the state of this church. I'm not discouraged, but I am concerned because we are a declining congregation, we're an aging congregation, we don't see conversions, and some of our ministries that some years ago were thriving, ministries among young people and ministries among children and Sunday school, have begun to decline or have closed down. Now, I don't know if you know me very well yet, I've only been here 4 years, but I'm not the kind of person who will pretend that all is going well when it isn't. One of my characteristics, which I trust is the characteristic of all Christians, I just tend to be very open and very honest. If I see something that concerns me, I will speak about it. And I see no reason not to speak about it. And the state of the church concerns me. And for many, many, many months now, I've been praying about this church. And I've been asking the Lord to bless us as a church, to revive us as a church. And I've been asking the Lord to send us conversions and to send us people who will join in and to revive those ministries that were once active and thriving in this church. We're living in a dark town where the vast majority of the people are not born again Christians. They're going to a lost eternity. And the Church of Jesus Christ has the gospel, the word of life, the one message that brings people out of darkness into His most marvelous light and sets them on the way to heaven. We have the word of life that brings innumerable, unmeasurable blessings of joy into people's hearts. And what people need surely today is that joy that only God by His Spirit gives. So I pray that God would give us a church here that's a large church, a growing church, an active church that is active in this town of Cleveland, reaching out to the people of Cleveland with the message of life. And I'm concerned that we are a declining church, and I want to speak about it very openly from the pulpit. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to preach a series of sermons on the state of this church. Now, I'm going to say something I said on Wednesday night when we had our members meeting, and I announced that I was going to be preaching this series. I want to make a solemn promise before you, before the Lord, and my solemn promise is this: this series will be encouraging. I don't believe in preaching discouraging sermons. I think actually any preacher who preaches discouraging sermons has no place in the pulpit. I believe our task as a preacher is to preach encouraging sermons to God's people. I don't believe in beating up God's people. I don't believe in ranting and in nagging God's people into action. That doesn't work. I believe in encouraging God's people. And I promise you this, that every sermon that I preach will be encouraging in its tone and will leave you, I trust and pray, will leave you with your heart encouraged and with faith strengthened. Because those are the two things I want to do in this series of sermons. I want to encourage you and I want your faith to be strengthened. So this is what I'm planning to do over the next few weeks. I'm going to be speaking about Copse Road Chapel and the state that we are in. This evening I'm starting to look at this letter that the Lord Jesus wrote to the church in Laodicea. We'll be looking at it this evening, and then in 2 weeks' time, because next Sunday, of course, is carol service, but in 2 weeks' time, when I'm in the pulpit again, I will come back to this passage. And then there's going to be some sermons in a passage in Ephesians chapter 4, and then there's going to be some sermons in a passage in Luke 11. So there's quite a series of sermons coming, but please remember that promise. This is meant to encourage you, and it's meant to strengthen your faith. So let's then look this evening at this letter that the Lord Jesus Christ wrote to the church in Laodicea. I have three things that I want to bring out from this passage. You will find it helpful to have the passage open in front of you. And I want to say three things from this passage. The first thing I want to say is this. The Church of Christ frequently goes through periods of difficulty. The Church of Christ frequently goes through difficulty, goes through periods of difficulty. When you read the New Testament, a fairly large part of the New Testament is about local churches. Once you're out of the Gospels and you're into Acts and then you're into the letters, you're dealing with local churches, because in Acts a local church is born in chapter 2 in Jerusalem, and then later in Acts those Christians in Jerusalem went into Judea and Samaria and preached the gospel, and local churches sprang up in Judea and Samaria, and then Paul went on his missionary journey to Galatia and then to Greece and so on, and local churches sprang up in Galatia and in Greece and in Turkey. And the rest of the New Testament is taken up with life in the local church. Life in the local church is the dominating theme of the New Testament. Now, when you read the New Testament, you come away with what I have just said as my first point. You come away with this impression that the Church of Christ frequently goes through periods of difficulty. The church in Jerusalem went through a period of difficulty. Read Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Read Acts chapter 6, the distribution of food among the widows. Read Acts chapter 7, the stoning of Stephen. Read Acts chapter 8, the disciples faced persecution from Saul of Tarsus and had to flee Jerusalem. And then you read the letters. Why were the letters written? Most of the letters were written because the church had gone into difficulty. Why was 1 Corinthians written? 1 Corinthians was written because there was division in the church. Some people said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. There was a man sleeping with his father's wife. There were two men who were fighting out a court case. There were people who were coming to the Lord's table drunk. There were people denying the resurrection of the human body. Why was 2 Corinthians written? Problems in the church. Why was Galatians written? Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Why were these letters written? Most of them were written because churches had difficulties. We mustn't think that there's something wrong with Copse Road Chapel because we're in difficulty. If I can put it like this, because there's something right with Copse Road Chapel, we're in difficulty. You must remember that the devil is God's enemy, and the devil has limited resources. And so the devil has to deploy his resources very, very wisely. The devil can't attack every Christian on the face of this earth. He doesn't have those resources. The devil can't attack every church on the face of this earth. He doesn't have that sort of resource. He has to select churches. He has to select churches which are particularly effective in the service of Christ and deploy his resources on those churches. Do you know, if Copse Road Chapel wasn't in difficulty, it would be an astonishing thing. If Copse Road Chapel hadn't come under attack from the devil, it would be an astonishing thing. It would be an enormous mistake by the devil. You think about the history of this church. Ever since this church came into existence, every man who has stood in this pulpit has believed that this is the written word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God himself, and every word of it has come from the mouth of God, and every word of it is inerrant, accurate, honest, true, and holy. Every person who has stood in this pulpit has believed that this is the written word of God. We've never denied that. Every person who has stood in this pulpit has believed that Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross of Calvary, has paid the penalty for the sins of his people and has therefore made a perfect atonement for the way of salvation for his people. And by his bodily resurrection has guaranteed a place in heaven for them. No one standing in this pulpit, to my knowledge, has denied the fundamentals of the Christian faith. Do you know that's very rare in Britain? Did you know that? There are churches that have started well, and then they've gone through wobbly periods. If you look at the history of Kensington Baptist, did you know there was a period when Kensington Baptist had liberals in the pulpit? Praise God, that's no longer the case. And churches have gone through these periods where a man in the pulpit had been influenced by liberal theology and has denied the scriptures, denied Christ, denied the resurrection. This hasn't happened here. And there are resources in this church. There are people in this church who love the Lord and who would do anything for the Lord, who want to serve the Lord, who have zeal for the Lord. Well, of course, Copse Road Chapel has come under attack. And the devil would be stupid if he didn't attack this church. So we mustn't be surprised that we're going through difficulty. We mustn't get discouraged over it. We mustn't say there's something wrong. There isn't anything wrong. Perhaps the way we've handled our difficulties hasn't always been the wisest. But we mustn't be surprised that we've come under difficulty. The devil has always attacked faithful churches, godly churches, churches where the Bible is preached. And where Bible lives are lived. The devil has always attacked them. That's the first thing I wanted to say from this passage. You look at these seven letters. Five of those churches face difficulty. Five of those seven face difficulty. The second thing I want to say from this passage is this. Christ frequently revives his church. Christ frequently revives his church. I'm sure you know the seven letters well. And I'm sure you know particularly the first letter and the last letter because they're probably the two best known. The first one is to Ephesus and the last one is to Laodicea. And I'm sure you know that to the church in Ephesus, Jesus wrote that I have this against you. You have lost your first love. I'm therefore about to remove the candlestick from you. And here in this last letter, he says to them, I know your works, you're neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either. So because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. So he says to Ephesus, I'm about to remove the candlestick from you. And to Laodicea, he says, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Now, I want to tell you something from church history. 300 years after the letter to the Ephesians was written. Okay? 300 years after the book of Revelation was written and the letter to the church in Ephesus. There was in Ephesus a healthy, Bible-believing, evangelical, God-glorifying church. That history is indisputable. The evidence for it is so strong that no historian would even dare to question it. It is so obvious. When you go to Bible college and you learn church history, there are certain dates you have to memorize because they'll turn up in your exam. And Ephesus 3:8-1 is one of those dates you have to memorize. And it tells you that in 381 AD, some 300 years after the letter to the church in Ephesus was written, there was in Ephesus a healthy, evangelical, Bible-believing, Christ-preaching, God-honoring church. Christ did not remove the lampstand. He didn't do it. And 300 years after this letter to Laodicea was written, there was still a church in Laodicea. Christ didn't spit it out of his mouth. There was a church in Laodicea. In fact, 300 years after this letter was written, the Christians in Laodicea decided to put up a building. They didn't have a building. They decided to put up a building so that they could hold their services in a building. The building they put up was larger than any English cathedral. Significantly larger than any English cathedral. It was 2.5 acres. St. Paul's, the largest cathedral in England, is 1.9 acres. Significantly larger. The church had grown. The church survived. The church didn't die. Every one of these churches, Thyatira, Philadelphia, Sardis, Pergamum, Smyrna, they all survived. Because you have to understand what these letters are about. When we're reading the New Testament, we have the same problem as when we're reading an email, okay? And I think over lockdown, we've all learned that writing emails is a pretty hazardous business, and reading emails is even more hazardous because you don't know the tone in which it was written. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay? So, for example, if I went home this evening I wrote an email to one of you. I'm not going to do this. But if I wrote an email to one of you, and I said, I noticed you were nodding off while I was preaching. Now, what was the tone? Was it, you were terrible, you were nodding off while I was preaching? Or was it, my dear brother, I'm so sorry, you were obviously very tired, you'd had a very heavy night. May I pray for you? Could you tell me if there was a problem? You see, you can't tell the tone. Was it a sympathetic tone or was it a harsh tone? Now, we read these letters, and I think we sometimes assume that Jesus is here having a real go at his churches. He's having a real shout at them. He's telling them off. And I say this to you, it can't be the case. These letters were not in a harsh tone. He wasn't serving notices of closure. These letters are offers of help, not notices of closure. Jesus wasn't saying to Ephesus, the decision has been made and the church is going to close and that's the end of it. He wasn't saying that to the church in Ephesus. He wasn't saying to the church in Laodicea, you're rubbish because you're lukewarm, I'm going to close the church. He wasn't saying that. Do you know in the book of Psalms, it says, he will not have a go at his people. That's a promise that God has made. Now, I've paraphrased the Hebrew, because the Hebrew of Psalm 103 is pretty difficult to pin down. And this version says he will not always chide. I don't even know what the word chide means. I think it means nitpick, find fault, have a go. And it says there in Psalm 103, he will not do this with his people. He will not nitpick, find fault, have a go, tell off. He will not do it. And you know my favorite verse in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble of heart. Would it be a person of gentle and humble of heart who would write telling off letters to seven churches, you're no good? Would Jesus write such letters? Of course he wouldn't. He's gentle. He's humble of heart. He's a gracious Savior. He's a merciful Savior. He's a loving Savior. His heart is filled with love, with grace, with mercy. These are not letters written in a harsh, critical tone saying you are no good and I'm about to close you down. These are letters written in a gentle, loving, gracious tone saying, my dear people, my dear, dear people, you're in a battle. And the devil has declared war on you. And some of you have found this war difficult. And you found yourself in difficulty. And I've come to help you. and I've come to revive you. And I've come to make sure you don't close. Because I don't want the church in Laodicea to close, or the church in Ephesus to close. I want the gospel to be preached in these cities, and I don't want these churches to close. And that's why I've come to you. That's why I'm writing these letters to you. It's because I want to revive you. And history proves that he did indeed revive these churches. Ephesus 3:81, there was a Bible-believing church that brought honor to Christ. Laodicea built this building. It was only in 2017 that they excavated the foundations. They're doing excavation work in Laodicea. And in 2017, they began to excavate the foundations of this huge building. And they had no idea what it was, because in the 7th century, there was a massive earthquake and the whole city was destroyed and people left, never settled there again. But they excavated these foundations, and then they looked at the evidence, and it was clear it's a church. Huge place, 2.5 acres. The church had grown. Christ had revived it. So I've made the first point: the church of Christ frequently goes through periods of trial. It frequently goes through periods of difficulty, because the devil attacks the church, particularly churches that are faithful to God's word and seeking to live holy lives. I've made the point in the second place that Christ frequently revives his church. But I want to say a third thing. And I want to say this as my third point. I'm afraid my points are rather long. They were meant to be on the screen, but it doesn't matter. You can come and ask me for my points later. But this is my third point. Christ calls upon his people to trust in him and to pray for the church. Christ calls upon his people to trust in him and to pray for the church. Perhaps you're thinking, as you're sitting there, you're thinking to yourself, well, Sukesh, it's all very well for you to say all this, but we know of churches that do close. Yes, I know. I know churches close. I know churches that dwindle and get smaller and smaller and smaller, and finally they close. Now, why, if it is the case that Christ frequently revives his church, why is it that churches do close? Now, I think the reason mainly is because people get discouraged. I think people become so discouraged and people become so taken up with the low state of the church. And I think people become so, caught up in all the difficulties of the church. And I think people sometimes turn in on each other. And I think they begin to find fault in each other. And I think they begin to criticize each other. And I think they begin, oh, well, you're doing this wrong, and you're doing this wrong. And they begin to criticize. Did you notice what I was doing while I was speaking those words? There was a knock, but they didn't hear it because they were too busy being discouraged. They were too busy feeling sorry for themselves. They were too busy finding fault in each other. And there was a knock on the door. Will you look at verse 20 with me? You know the verse, I'm sure you could quote it from memory. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with me and he with me. This is not an evangelistic verse. This is not an evangelistic verse. Christ is not speaking to unbelievers here. This is a verse for a struggling church. Look at the way the letter begins. To the angel of the church in Laodicea. Write the words of Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Now, Christ would never address unbelievers like this. Jesus would never say to an unbeliever, you are lukewarm. They're not lukewarm, they're dead. Believers are lukewarm. Alive people are lukewarm. Spiritually dead people are cold. This is to Christians. And it is to Christians that Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man opens, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. He's offering a rescue. He's offering a cure. He's offering revival. He's saying, if you will open, if you will listen to the knock, and don't get so discouraged that you just give up. Don't get so discouraged. You just say, well, what's the point in going on? What's the point in praying? What's the point in believing? Let's just give up. If that's what you're going to do, then the church will close. But if we say to ourselves, well, all right, we're in a low state. Churches go through low states. Fine. And we are in a pretty low state. Fine. Churches go through that. We don't go panic about it. But we remember this, that Christ frequently revives his church. He revived Laodicea, the church to whom he said, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. He revived this church. He revived Ephesus. Christ frequently revives his church. But Christ does say to his people that he expects them to listen to the knock and to open and to believe in him. I am going to come back to this. Verse 20 is our motto text for next year. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm going to have it as our motto text on our cards. And in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to preach on it. And I'm going to explain how Christ is so loving, so kind, so tender, so merciful, and so gracious, especially to struggling churches. Especially to struggling churches. We have every reason to be encouraged, my friends. We have every reason to hope. We have every reason to pray. We have every reason to trust that Christ will revive this church. My greatest prayer is this, that 2021 will be a year of prayer. Do you know, and I say this to you as a guarantee, if in 2021, every one of us, every member of this church, we set aside a certain amount of time each day, and we say to ourselves, this is my prayer time for the church that Christ will revive Copse Road Chapel. If all of us, the whole membership, we resolve this is our New Year resolution, we are going to beseech Christ. We're going to be like Jacob, who said to God, I will not let you go until you bless me. We're going to say to God, I will not let you go until you revive Copse Road Chapel. All of us, we're determined to pray this. We pray this in our own homes. We contact each other and we say, brother, sister, shall we meet weekly for prayer and pray for the revival of the church? If only we would do this. God will revive this church. And this church will see conversions. It will see growth. It will see youth work, children's work, Sunday school. It will see all the ministries. Because Christ isn't in the business of closing churches. That's not his purpose. Don't you remember his words? I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will build my church, he said. He's not in the business of closing churches. He's in the business of building churches. Now, he does ask us to have a role in it. He asks us to believe him. He asks us to pray. He asks us to trust him. And I say this to you, and I'm afraid on this point I am going to nag you. Will you please pray for this church? Will you believe him? That he wants to revive this church. He doesn't want to see this church declining. He doesn't want to see this church struggling. He doesn't want to see this church unhappy. He wants to see us a growing, happy, joyful body. Well, why don't we pray that this is what he will do? That he will revive this church. I believe he will. If we would take hold of him in prayer and pray and pray and pray and pray. You know, if you wanted to get in touch with me and say, Sukesh, will you meet with me for prayer? You name the day and the time, I will be there. I will pray with everybody. I am simply asking this, brethren, let's pray. Let's pray for Copse Road Chapel. Let's not give up. But let's pray that Christ revives this church.